Okay, we're going to get started. This is just going to be a little informative, informal narrative session on FFA and 4-H and what it's all about and what it means in the cattle ranching community around Florida. On the end there, on your left, my right, is Mr. Jimmy Wilkerson. He's the vocational agriculture instructor at Branford High School. Mm-hmm. And next to him is Tara Harrison. Are you still a senior? Are you a senior there?
I'm gone now.
You graduated. You were a senior last year when we were going to have the festival in May. Yeah. But you were president of the FFA.
Yes,
right.
Sir.
And then we have Miss Lindy Batten, who is the Florida Cattlemen's Association sweetheart. And she'll talk just a little bit about what that entails, as well as she's had a whole lot of 4-H experience, so she'll be talking mostly about 4-H and what that's meant to her and what it means in the cattle ranching community. So, Jimmy, let's start with you. What do you teach? What is vocational agriculture in terms of cattle ranching? What do you teach in terms of cattle?
Well, there's a couple of courses in the agriculture curriculum that actually deal with livestock parts and identification, and you learn the cuts of beef and such as that, and it's kind of an agri-technology class, and it's mainly for juniors and seniors. They get their first real taste of diseases and anything that has to do with cattle, and you know, it's really becoming a major problem in Florida, trying to have cows with the land prices the way they are, especially around where we're at. You know, the price of land is getting so high that people just can't really afford to have them anymore, and it's kind of a negative aspect. And we still push that whole concept of you need to have cows because, you know, I mean, our hamburger's coming from somewhere. So there's still a few diehards that are still in the local area there that have a lot of cows. And anyway, going back to your main question, we got in the FFA, there's a lot of contests that deal with there's livestock judging and dairy judging and meats identification, and just there's any kid that's interested in any aspect of cattle, there's something in the FFA for them. It's very very dynamic.
Now I'm gonna stir it up here just a little bit. I learned in doing some of my field documentation that, of course, FFA used to be Future Farmers of America.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just FFA.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about why that happened?
I think that it's the whole mental concept of FFA is all about sows, cows, and plows, and it's not sows, cows, and plows. It's a lot more than just that. There's all kinds of leadership building opportunities there. It's not just a hands-on thing. It's a lot of times people have the misconception that the FFA is just for farm kids, but there's something in the FFA for everybody. It's if you like to speak in public, if you like to write speeches, if you like to do community service, you know, it just whatever you want to do, there's something there. And I'll brag about my chapter and say that my chapter receives just as much scholarship money as any other programs at high school. You know, the kids that come into my program benefit just as well, if not better, than other kids that go to the high school and are football players or basketball players or whatever. And that's that kind of sets us apart in our school. You know, it really gives an incentive for the kids to become involved.
Tara, maybe you can tell us about the animal you brought today.
Okay, today we brought an 18-month shorthorn heifer and, well, bred heifer. She came from Ohio last year. We bought her. And we are now, she's just going to stay at our house and just produce calves for us. And we show, so we travel around from all over Florida showing her, and we've got six other heifers and we got two steers that we show. So we show to learn more about the beef industry and teach more people about it.
Now you just graduated this past June or May.
Yes,
Yes, sir.
And so what are you doing now in terms of your education, your career?
I am now attending North Florida Community College in Madison, and I'm working on my AA. And then after 2 years of that, I'm going to transfer to the University of Florida and get my PhD in animal science.
Animal science. So what's your... And what do you think you'll do once you get that PhD? What might you do?
I want to either convert the DNA of livestock, or I want to take embryos out of cows and put them in other cows to improve genetics.
Let's get back to the when you were in school. How big of a part of your life, everyday life, was FFA?
I was at our ag shop every day of the week from 3 till 5:30, almost every single day.
Now, do you come from a cattle family?
No. I was the first one in our family, and I showed a steer, and ever since then, I just grew into raising them. So.
And what other, are there any social activities besides just raising the animals that the FFA does? I mean, do you have proms, parties, balls, fundraisers? Can you talk about some of those things?
We do fundraisers, and our main fundraiser is just raising a chapter steer and a chapter hog for our fair, and we sell that. That's our main fundraiser. But we do other fundraisers, like at our 4th of July, and then we do community service activities. I think 1 week this year y'all went and cleaned up the river.
Mm-hmm. We clean up the river every year.
And we've cleaned up the road. We have adopted a highway that we clean up.
Go to the old folks' home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, it sounds like it's a pretty important, can be a pretty important part of community life in a town that has a big agricultural segment.
Yes.
Jimmy, what do you have an idea of what percentage of students take classes, vocational agriculture, or belong to FFA?
It's kind of funny about that, because last year I think I have about 80 kids that enroll through the year. The high school's not really all that big, but as far as the percentage goes, there's probably maybe 20%, 15% of the population of the school, 15 to 20, something like that, is either involved or enrolled in classes.
Lindy. Can you tell us about 4-H? I understand you've done a lot of 4-H.
Yes, sir. I'm a product of the 4-H program. I'm a third-generation 4-H'er and a 10-year participant of the Florida 4-H program. 4-H stands for Heads, Heart, Hands, and Health. And it's been largely instrumental in shaping and molding me into the person that I am today. I particularly did the beef projects, raising and show steers and beef heifers, and there's a lot of hard work that goes into that. I've learned, you know, dedication, responsibility, record keeping. I've also been on the judging teams and did many public speaking events at the state and national levels, and held a lot of numerous leadership positions, and it just has a lot to offer our youth.
And can you tell us what you're doing now in terms of your education, and then maybe go right into what it means to be FCA sweetheart?
Currently, I am attending Barry University in hopes to become an ag teacher and studying education. And what's the question?
FCA sweetheart.
Okay.
What it means, what it is, and what it took to become FCA sweetheart.
It all stems from, you know, my beginning roots, starting with 4-H. I became active about 9 years ago in the Florida Junior Cattlemen's Association. Just doing, you know, the beef quiz bowl teams, team marketing, leadership events, and I've always wanted to do the sweetheart program, and when I became old enough, I tried out, and this year I won, so.
And what do you do as a sweetheart?
I travel around the state promoting Florida's beef industry, serving as a spokesperson and a role model.
But don't you also get to learn, you go in on some, up to Tallahassee and meet some government people, some politicians?
Yes, sir. I was just at the, in Tallahassee at the legislature meeting with Charles Bronson, where I spoke with the governor and all the cabinet members, and we'll be going back there this spring, bringing some issues concerning our industry before them.
And did you tell us what your goal is when you complete your education, what you want to do for a job?
Yes, I want to be an ag teacher.
All right, so the generations
there's plenty of openings.
Yeah.
Never a shortage.
Is that right? Is it pretty good?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's always a job.
Now, either one of us, one of you could answer, but what are some of the things involved in showing cattle? I mean, what makes a good shorthorn calf? Maybe you could tell us, Tara. Mm-hmm. What are you striving for? What's the paragon of, you know, the mark of excellence?
There's all different types of sizes of cows, but I prefer short cows because they're easier to fill out and muscle wise. And the shorthorn is a short breed. Well, heifer wise they're short. Steer wise they're not very good, but we strive for, we want them really like wide and long in width and length. So it's just a good muscle quality.
And how do you learn? I mean, what are the standards? Do you have, are there some classic cows that you, some classic animals that you compare yours to? Or?
They compare, they don't do us by, well, in register shows, they show you by breeds, which is just all shorthorn. But in, like, our county fair, they weigh us, and they put us in weight categories and judge us on how much, like, what each cow looks like compared to their weight and how far along they are and filling out.
For market animals, you're pretty much looking for what's going to hang up and yield the highest valuable cuts of meat in terms of muscling, marbling, yeah.
Okay. I was trying to think. Can you tell us, Lindy, a little bit about the Florida Cattlemen's Association?
Okay. Just about.
Well, when it started, how many members, the size of it, you know, any of that stuff?
I don't know.
What is it about? What is the Florida Cattlemen's Association about?
Well, it's an association where all the cattlemen, our ranchers and cattlemen, come together with one voice and, you know, seeking in legislature and all concerns.
How significant is Florida as a cattle ranching state?
We're primarily a cow-calf operation.
What does that mean?
We breed cows and, you know, have the calves, breed them for market animals to send off to the feedlots.
Out west?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. So we don't do much slaughtering here in the state. We ship calves out.
We ship calves, yes, to finish them out.
And do you have any idea how Florida ranks in terms of nationally?
We're 12th in the nation right now.
In cow-calves?
Yes, sir.
And don't we have some of the biggest cow-calf operations in the country?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
The biggest, I think, is Deseret.
Yes, sir.
Owned by the Deseret Mormon Church. Mm-hmm. 320,000 acres. I don't know how many cows they have. And do you have any idea of our national rank? I think we're 12th.
We're 12th in the nation, yes.
Oh, did you say that already?
Yes, sir.
That was a long time ago. Well, we can probably wrap up. Questions?
In preparing cattle for showing, I've heard people talk about how they pretty it up. I mean, they'll put shoe polish.
That's what we're doing today.
Okay, well, tell me about the beautification process.
We go from, she gets a bath, and then they have blowers that are like hair dryers for women, but in larger forms. And so she gets blowed, and then we clip her and to make her square box shaped, and then she gets her ears cleaned, her toes painted, just like she's getting ready to go out. So every cow that goes to a show, we do.
But the ones just hang out
the bird. Oh, no. No, sir. Well, if it's a female, we keep her, and we're breeding to make calves for a show. So all of our heifers are just put back out in our pasture and bred, and then they produce calves for us. Our steers, we sell them in order for our market. So.
Go ahead, yes.
Selling them for slaughter is not, that's very hard, because once you're attached to them, it's really hard. But once they're turned out in the pasture, I can go back out there and see them. So I'm like, I'm fine with that. But yeah, going to slaughter is the hard part.
It's tough, but you go into this project knowing that, mm-hmm. and so it is really tough, though.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
This kind of reinforces that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the shows, how competitive does it get?
It gets very competitive.
Yes.
That's happened before.
Yeah, it's very competitive. There's people that I'm friends with a bunch of people that I show with, and once we go into the show ring, it all changes, because it's just like, well, yeah. Who's going to win this one, and who's going to do that? But and then when you come out, everybody's friends and good to go. But we take it very competitive, and that's what I guess I like about it, is just being able to go out there and have fun and be able to compete in something.
Yeah, you're just reaping all the greater rewards of your hard work, so it's enjoyable. Well, there's been numerous training at home, and that's a big part, how much you work with your animal at home before the show. But there is outbreaks mm-hmm. at the show, but you can't really prevent that.
We had to lead ours in the ring this year.
Our chapter steer had, he was worked with every single day that we could possibly work with him, but he ended up just being one of those calves that you couldn't break. Well, finally, after a day of everybody being out there, he had calmed down, and we got him to the show. Well, when he went to the show ring, he had three guys holding on to him just to make sure. So it's just, they're animals. I mean, you can't really control them. So.
Mm-hmm. Sure they do.
Well, they're not. It depends if they've been exposed around a lot of people before at home. I don't know. What do y'all? I used to drive mine around sometimes and always have people come pet it and touch it and get it used to. You know, seeing people being around, having people touch it from when the, like in the trailer. Yes.
But.
They'll put their ears back a lot. They'll
turn around in circles.
Just real antsy. Yeah. You can tell. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we have a show stick that we use, and that usually helps calm them. We'll stroke them.
That's show stick's the big thing.
But if you're calm, if the exhibitor's calm, they're more prone to being calm. But if they sense you being nervous, they will act up.
So you have a show stick.
Yes.
Can you talk, or either one of you or both of you, talk a little bit more about this boxy aesthetic? I've heard about the square, the box. You want the animal to look boxy or square, angular?
When you look at them from the side, they prefer them to be looked boxed, all proportionate and everything. So when you start trimming hair on a cow, to make them look boxed. The hair is like an illusion to your eyes. Hair hides so many defaults in cows. And it's all on your judge on who wins, because some judges I've seen won't go up and fill your calf. But you can have one of those calves that have a lot of hair that just like fill it out and make it.
And now they're starting to use the ultrasound, which determines the back fat, so that's the all-tell.
Yes.
The tell-all. So they go by that a lot, too. The judges get that information. Uh-huh. So.
But the steers do get pampered as soon as they, as soon as kids get them. They put a fan out there and keep them so they're cool all the time. They don't lose that hair. They try to maintain that hair the whole time. It's very important, because whenever they get them to the fair, if they're showing a hollow spot or something, they can poof that hair out and trim it, and then you've got a box. So that's...
And is it harder for, I mean, when you show these animals, you're sometimes traveling all around the country. So are Floridians ever at a handicap because the animal will tend to grow less hair than one from out west?
Yes.
It's a big deal?
Yes.
Do you have anything you do to make them, besides keep a fan on them, maybe you should air condition them down to about 60 degrees?
Make them grow hair. Rogaine.
Any more questions? Judy, did you have one?
I want to know about the calves. Are they born year-round? Do they stay with the herd until they go out west? And how do you take them out of the herd? I just want to know how the calving is done, because I know
it's most of them are born in the spring, well, in fall.
Fall,
right.
Spring,
but... They stay on their moms about 6 to 8 months. When they're about 500 to 600 pounds, they're weaned and then shipped off out west.
The gestation period is the same as a human, right? About 9 months?
Gestation period. 9 months.
10 temperature has a lot to do with estrus in cattle. Whenever it's hot, the estrus cycle will be a lot shorter.
So do they tend to be birthed up north? In this end of the state, they tend to be birthed earlier than they would, say, down in Okeechobee? Or not?
I don't know that one. That's a good one.
Because it seems like most, they sell them when they're about a year old, right?
Right.
More or less, and it's usually in the fall when there's end of the summer or the fall when they're selling calves.
Well, that's usually the case anyway, because the main reason that people sell calves in the fall is because all of the summer plants are gone and they're going to start feeding that calf either hay or feed, and they don't want to buy hay or feed, so they ship them off to the feedlot. So that's kind of why you see that huge increase in the market.
Okay. Yeah.
Talk about using hair to fill out the shape of the cow. Is there like some product, like a grease or something, to give it that?
Come see me. I have everything.
There's
numerous
products.
We have hairspray that we put on them. Paint. They look like they're going to a prom when they get done.
Depends on their hooves. What color? There's clear, there's black, there's all different colors.
Pink. No, no pink.
Pink. I'm sure there is.
You can do good things like that for a cat when you do anything for them.
Some Rogaine.
Well, I think we need to wrap up. Thanks a whole lot. And you can see the Tara's Shorthorn calf, a steer, over here in the behind the cracker cattle out by the roadway, and I'm sure they'll be glad to answer questions. And thanks again, folks.
Thanks for having us.
And